Good morning, everybody. This is You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell. My co-host today, Bob Belts, taking a little vacation, and I miss him. Welcome to the program. Good song to wake up by. I bet Michael Kirk is dancing right now in the bedroom of his house in his slippers, getting ready for this day. Rescue Me. Who's singing that clip? Fontella Bass. I'm not familiar with her work, but it's a well-known song. And today, Rescue Me fits right in with our guest on the show. You Get the Blessing exists because we introduce you to special people who are impacting this community for Christ and doing some real, real good work with their lives. And I know that you'll be blessed today by meeting Kristen Harness. Kristen, welcome to our program.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're up to some good things, which we'll get to in a minute.
Okay.
Quite incredible life you're living. But first, I want to talk about your life and let our listeners catch up a little bit as to where you're from and where you were raised. What did it look like around your place when you were a kid?
Sure. Well, I was born in Minnesota. I've been in Colorado for 23 years. So pretty much grew up here, lived in Lakewood, Commerce City, and everywhere in between.
What school did you go to?
You know what? Interesting question. I went to Green Mountain High School, but did not graduate from there. But that's where I attended some high school.
Well, they kick you out or something?
Yes. Yes, I have an interesting story about my teenage years. So, yeah, I actually got expelled from all schools in the Denver area.
I was just kidding. You look like the person in the world that would get kicked
out. Jesus.
Anyway. I'm serious. I'm not going to ask
anymore.
He's
done awesome things in my life, but that's not the way it has always been, yeah.
Seriously? Well,
seriously, yes.
Mom, dad helping at all, or are they just letting you run loose?
You know, my mom was always around. She was a single parent to me and my sister, and my dad was, they divorced when I was five, so I saw him randomly, you know, when it was convenient for him, but my mom was always around. Yeah, she worked really hard to take care of us.
Well, let's get to some good stuff then. When did it get better for you?
You know, it was around the age of 18, my mom invited me to a church in Westminster, and I remember walking through the door of that church, and something hit me, and I was just overwhelmed. The second I walked in, I just started weeping, and I ran out of the church, and my mom was like telling me, "That's the Holy Spirit," and I'm like, "The Holy Spirit? What are you talking about?" And so that was really my moment. It was a couple years long process of God, you know, revealing his love to me and having that encounter with him. And
you'd never heard it before then.
You know, my mom, I grew up around my mom being a believer my whole life. But, you know, hearing Christian music in the background, I was always super embarrassed when I would hear it around my friends. And
I still am, by the way. I like the Beatles.
Not me. I'm not embarrassed. Well, I like all music too. But so it's always like had that influence in my life, even when I was young. But that was, you know, my moment, my personal encounter.
And it's funny the way you say that, because I grew up in a Methodist church in Oklahoma City, and I was there all the time, and they were saying the right things, but I never heard it. And my moment came about the same age here in Denver through a Young Life Club. The first time I heard you could have a relationship with God through Christ, I was thinking, well, that seems pretty easy. How come everybody doesn't want to do this?
Yeah.
And the guy, our Young Life leader, Don Reverts, said, well, why don't we just talk about you first before we worry about everybody else? So it is interesting that an age of an accountability, it's almost like a veil's lifted and our eyes are open, our hearts all of a sudden seeing or hearing for the first time the truth. So in my expression of rebellion, I guess you'd say, was anger. I was just a mess. I mean, I don't know what all you were up to that got you expelled, but I promise
you,
when I was campaigning at TJ here in Denver for Class Clown, I should have been expelled a lot because I was doing a lot of damage to property and people. But thank goodness for those people that come along in our lives, like your mom taking you to that church. Yeah. So good moment.
Yeah.
And a good memory.
Yeah.
So you took off from there in your faith, or did you lose traction like we all do here and there, or did you feel good about it?
You know, I didn't really lose traction, but it was definitely a process for me. Some people, they have that moment and everything, you know, flips around and changes. Mine was very gradual. I had to do a lot of practical things. I had to remove myself from friends that I was hanging around with that were not, you know, encouraging me and moving closer to God. And I had to work through a lot of those things to pursue him and to pursue what he was showing me, his love. And so it was a few years and I still had things going on, but I never, through all these rough times and stuff in this process, I haven't, it wasn't ever going backwards. You know, it was just kind of a slow moving forward.
Now you seem very confident. Did that work against you in terms of responding to peer pressure and thinking, heck, let's go for it. We could do anything.
Oh, gosh. I've struggled with not being confident and with low self-esteem my whole life. And my
really?
Whole teenage life and my whole adult life.
I'm only reading this wrong, huh?
I'm not kidding. Like, God's done really awesome things in my life. He really has. I have maybe only in the past year or two started being secure in who I was and just knowing that, like really knowing that I am my identity in Christ, you know, like really grasping that and getting a revelation of what that is. And so now I guess you could say I'm more confident. I'm just confident because I know who I am in him and that he's with me. I mean, that really is all there is to it. But yeah, it was definitely a very big struggle for me and I still struggle too, but.
Well, I missed that one by a mile because you seem very comfortable in your skin. Our guest today is Kristen Harness. She heads Extended Hands of Hope Ministry. And this is Bo Mitchell, your host on You Get the Blessing. And I brought that up about confidence because self-confidence is an okay thing, but God confidence is much better. And an orientation towards Christ is what we're supposed to be having and living as his people. And so maybe that's what I'm sensing in you is an incredible Christ-centeredness because you seem totally together, and I know you're working in a dark world, and maybe that's just perfect timing for you to be who you are now, ready to tackle what you tackle every day. So at some point you got married, had kids?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we just celebrated our 11-year anniversary.
I got 45 coming up this month, so
wow.
If you're wondering...
I'm not even that old. So
how old I am. Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. That means I'm like near 80 years old, I guess.
Not quite. But yeah, and then I have a 9-year-old son and a 7-year-old girl.
Good. And I bet you're tremendous parents.
Well, we try to be as good as we can.
What's your husband's name?
Bobby.
Bobby, way to go. Picked the right woman here, got raising two kids, and you seem happy. So tell us how Extended Hands of Hope got started and how you got involved.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe first, what does it do?
Sure. So our mission at Extended Hands of Hope is twofold. We go around and we raise awareness about the issue of sex trafficking. Most people don't realize that it's happening here in America, here in Colorado. They automatically think of overseas, Thailand, Cambodia, India, when they hear human trafficking.
I did, didn't I?
Yes, exactly. And that's very common. And so our first goal is to, you know, raise awareness and educate people that that's not true. It's actually happening right here in all the cities here in Denver.
Boys, girls, what ages?
Boys and girls, a common age here. Well, in the United States, the FBI stated the common age is 11 to 12 years old for these children to enter into the commercial sex industry. And here in Colorado, it's about 14 to 16 years old. So these are very young kiddos.
Commercial sex industry. I didn't know such a thing existed.
Yes.
Who are the men and women that are putting that together and causing these problems for these kids?
Oh, gosh. There's a lot of men. I mean, men drive the demand for this. It's majority of men that are purchasing sex. And unfortunately, there's a demand for sex with minors, with children. Unfortunately, as the years go on, the demand rises for even younger and younger kids. So the men drive the demand for the most part. And the traffickers or the pimps that you've probably heard it, the ones who control these people in the background, they also come from all walks of life. The buyers and the traffickers, the buyers can be businessmen that you see every day, married with kids. They go to lunch on, you know, their lunch break and they purchase sex, or, you know, at nighttime. It really is just people that we would consider normal people that we would see in our neighborhoods.
So isolated to different parts of the metro area, or is there, because I'm picturing dark, seedy neighborhood, but no. Maybe that's not the case.
No. It's happening in Highlands Ranch. There's brothels that I heard of in DTC area where we are right now. That's the other thing, is when people begin to hear that it's happening in Colorado, they automatically think, well, it's happening in these, you know, poverty-stricken urban areas. But that's just not true either. It is happening there, but it happens in Arvada, Cherry Hills, Aurora. You name the city, there's sex trafficking and exploitation occurring.
So as many strange and peculiar things as I've experienced in my life, this is like new to me, and I'm sorry to be so out of it when it comes to this. And
that's
here,
okay.
Here you are, this small, beautiful, young, happily married woman, and God's called you to jump right in the middle of this mess.
Yeah.
How did that happen? How did you get chosen for this job?
I have a heart and a compassion for people that deal with any type of injustice or oppression. I have for most of my younger and an adult life, really cared about these kind of issues. And that motivated me to take a trip to Pattaya, Thailand. Pattaya is a city that's 62 miles southeast of Bangkok. And I went there on a mission trip, and we were not there for very long, but we had the opportunity to work in what's considered the red light district there and teach some English to some of the ladies that are involved in prostitution in Pattaya. Pattaya is a sex tourism town. So at the time when we went in 2004, the locals who showed us around said that 70% of the population there was involved in prostitution in some way. So this is a place where men from all over the world, including here in the United States, plan to take a trip, 2-week vacation, and they go to Pattaya, and it's called a sex tourism town, so they go there for the reasons of having sex. And so
I'm feeling like a really old, clueless fool here, that not knowing these things exist. Were you shocked when you got to this place and heard these numbers?
I had never heard of human trafficking before, or exploitation. I literally had never heard of the term before. And so that whole trip totally changed my life. I mean, I was just rocked from that trip, and it was a pivotal moment for me. And so after leaving there and wanting to move back and help, realizing moving back there wasn't going to work, I just started diving into educating myself on the issue of human trafficking and trying to understand, you know, coming from a point where you are, where, what is this and where is this happening and what does this look like and what can I do to help and do something? So I've really spent all of my years since that trip trying to understand what this is.
And then to come home and find it's right here.
After realizing, okay, yes, it's happening in all these countries, these third world countries that we think about, wait, it's also happening here in the United States, and then in Colorado, and then realizing in all these cities in Colorado, in my own backyard. I live in Broomfield, and there was a case last year. The man who was trafficking the young girl, I believe she was 14 at the time, he was selling her out of homes in Broomfield, Westminster area. So, yeah, it's not even just, you know, urban Denver areas. And so it was very shocking for me. And I realized, hey, I don't have to move to Thailand to do something about it. I can do something about it right here in my own community.
You know, now that I think about it, years ago, I was in Las Vegas at a golf tournament, and I was up way too late. I don't happen to drink, so I was acting just like I'm acting now. And this lady approached me, and I said, look, if you'll just wait a second here and let me finish playing this hand of cards I was playing. I said, I've got something to share with you much better than anything I could share with you upstairs. And she said, oh, no, you're a Jesus freak, aren't you? And I said, more or less. Just give me a minute. So anyway, I stood there in the middle of Bally's and shared Christ with her. And eventually she said, I don't like what I do, but I make a lot of money. And if you can show me a job tax-free that I can make this kind of money, I might consider changing. I asked her if she would just read the third chapter of John and consider the life of Christ as an option. And she said yes, but it's funny, I hadn't thought of that in years. And yet this lady looked to me like a fifth grade teacher at the strongest Christian school in in the world. And to think this is what she was doing for life was just kind of shocking. So I can't imagine who you run into on all ends of this deal. The guy setting up the transaction, the actual Johns, the clients. So,
and the reality is not everybody involved in the commercial sex industry or what people like to also consider prostitution. Not everybody who's involved in that is a victim of sex trafficking. Some of them are there based off of their own will, based off of their own choice. But I heard a long time ago, somebody said, well, if they're there and they're choosing to be there, what were their other choices? And so I think it's important for us to look past what we see on the outside and what they're doing. Because like myself, I would see that, the actions on the outside, and I would immediately judge them and think, how can they be doing that? And, you know, this is wrong. But to be able to see past that and to wonder, well, why are they doing that? And what kind of, you know, maybe brokenness are they coming from that would drive them to do that? Or what's motivating them?
So layers of
there's layers. Issues. There is.
Lead.
I don't believe anybody wakes up and a woman wakes up and says, well, I want to be a prostitute when I grow up.
Sure.
But when we're talking, there's definitely a difference that I've been learning over the last few years is the girls that we focus on at Extended Hands of Hope, these are young girls. They're minors. They're under the age of 18. They legally cannot consent to sex and, you know, having sex. And so they are under the law considered victims of sex trafficking. And a lot of them, which we don't understand because we don't see, is that they're actually being controlled and manipulated behind the scenes. And so they really don't want to be there. But even when I was in Thailand, I remember thinking, wow, all of these women are smiling and they're drawing the men in. And it looks like it almost looks like they're enjoying this and they want to do this. And when you know them behind the scenes, the stories, you see that they absolutely do not enjoy that. Nobody enjoys being, I mean, this is a heavy subject, so the terminology is, it is what it is. Nobody enjoys being raped 20 to 40 times a day. That is not enjoyment. And so they had to understand that these people have somebody behind the scenes that is forcing them and manipulating them and saying, you go out there and you smile and you make this much money, or you're going to deal with beatings, you're going to deal, I know where your sister lives. There's lots of threats. And this is happening here in the United States as well. And so we need to look deeper and say, what's going on behind the scenes?
This is You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell, your host. My guest, whose voice you're listening to there, is Kristen Harness, the head of Extended Hands of Hope. And we've pretty much painted the dark picture of sexual trafficking. Something maybe you listeners like me thought, well, this is happening somewhere in the world, but surely not here in my own backyard. And yet, Kristen shared with us, it's here. So We feel badly for these kids that are trapped in this, and like I say, we've painted the picture of the dark side here. Let's go to the solutions and what you're trying to do in terms of raising awareness and stopping this evil that's landed right here in our laps. Mm-hmm. What's your ministry all about? What do y'all do?
Yeah, just like you said, education is really important to us. If somebody doesn't understand the realities of sex trafficking, then they simply are not going to be compelled to do something about it.
And so you're trying to educate people that can help you stop it, or educate the people that are trapped in it, or both?
Educating the people, first of all, educating the demand side of it, educating men, so they can see that they're not just going to have sex with a prostitute, which is what they think, you know, that they're doing, that, hey, you may be buying sex from a victim of sex trafficking, somebody who is being controlled and somebody who has dealt with sexual abuse their whole life. About 80% of the victims here in Colorado and around the United States, they come from a past history of sexual abuse. These are kids that are runaways. They're running away from home for a reason. So this is a big deal. These kids have dealt with trauma and abuse most of their lives. And so it's important to educate the men that it's not just a victimless crime when you view pornography or when you purchase sex. You got to know what may be going on behind the scenes.
Are the police out aggressively looking for this and stopping it?
Yes, I'm very proud of law enforcement here in the Denver area. We are big supporters of them, and they're supporters of Extended Hands of Hope. They're doing an incredible job, and social services in Jefferson County and Arapahoe County and in Denver, they're really on the forefront of, you know, changing the mindset here in Denver instead of what happens now, which a man who purchases sex gets a slap on the hand and the woman gets thrown in jail for prostitution. That's what happens. Now they're really shifting that to where when they encounter especially a minor who's involved in the commercial sex industry, okay, whether that's stripping, whether that's quote unquote prostitution, now they are going to identify her as a victim first and see what's going on behind the scenes. And they're working really hard at prosecuting the traffickers and the people that are in the back controlling these girls and the buyer. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done. These are very difficult cases, but again, I'm very proud of our law enforcement here.
So listeners, we have a sharp leader here in Kristen Harness, who's putting her life on the line to help these kids get free from this awful life they're living in this sexual trafficking issue. And I'm going to ask Kristen now, share how people can help. I mean, I'm assuming we need money. We might need volunteers. What can people do to help Extended Hands of Hope, and where can they go to find the information?
Yes. So besides raising awareness about the issue, our number one feature of our program is called Avanti House. Avanti means forward in Italian. So we actually have a home right now. It's a beautiful home on 10 acres. And this is going to be a home where these girls can come. So right now, when a girl gets rescued out of a sex trafficking situation, there's not an adequate place for her to go. Okay, so they're bringing her to jail, detention centers. So we are opening up a home that's an alternative to those inadequate. Yes. So
Avanti House. What part?
Avanti House. Adams County, that's all I can say.
Good.
It is a safe house. We'll have 5 girls at a time there because we want to keep these small home-like environments. Some girls will stay short-term, some will stay long-term. Our long-term vision is we would like to open up multiple homes in the Denver area because there's such a need. There's not a home open right now for these girls.
So unfortunately, like you say, the alternative is this poor victim gets stuck in a detention situation or
jail.
Jail or at best case 2 hours in a coffee shop, and that doesn't do any long-term good.
No.
So Avanti House, we need money to buy the house? To
we're leasing the house right now because this is our first home, and so we didn't want to go in right now with incurring any debt. However, It is a 24/7 licensed home. So we're in the process right now of, we need to raise more funds so that we can hire the staff, the 24/7 staff that is required to take care of these kids while they're there.
Where's the website?
Our website, extendedhandsofhope.org. You can donate online. You can send us a check. We have an awesome monthly giving program called Anchors of Hope that you can sign up for. And we also need volunteers to help with the staff 24/7. So we're training volunteers right now. We have a mentoring program called Carriers of Hope, where we team up women who have gone through our training and background checks with survivors of sex trafficking. And they will just, you know, walk through life and walk through this journey with these women and encourage them and really be there for them.
So it's a little touchy, but could someone actually go see Avante House if they wanted to invest a big amount and say, look, I believe in what you're doing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, listeners, stop what you're doing and write this down. Extended Hands of Hope, Avante House, Kristen Harness, extendedhandsofhope.org is how you get in touch with them. And I'm asking you, I'm begging some of you, please make this a priority. This might be a calling on your life to say, look, I need to keep doing what I'm doing in business, need to work where I'm working. But thank you for what you're doing, Kristen.
Thank you.
And I hope someone responds in a big way. You're doing a great job. Thanks for being our guest today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Blessings, folks. See you next week here. And please help if you can.